We've all read enough on physiology to know where the breath comes in, where it goes out. But as you're sitting here right now, where do you feel the breathing? What parts of the body are engaged in the breathing process? Focus your attention on those sensations, your direct experience of breath energy. And commit yourself to it for the hour. What other little worlds of thoughts may come through the mind, you just let them go, let them go. Try to keep everything anchored right here. Really commit yourself to staying here. Because it's only when you stay here for long periods of time that you really see things, both in the breath and in the mind. And this is a skill. This is a topic that's really worth committing yourself to. After all, it is your breath. You're not committing yourself to anything far away or unseen. You're committing yourself to the energy that's keeping the body and the mind together, with the question, what can be done with this energy? And what am I already doing with the energy? As we all know from the Buddha's analysis of how we cause suffering, there's a lot of activity that goes on even before we've experienced something. The mind fabricates its way of approaching things, its way of thinking about the breath, thinking about feelings, perceptions, thinking about thoughts. And to put an end to suffering, we have to see those processes. And the best place to look right from the very beginning is at the breath. It's near the mind, but it's not directly at the mind. I remember reading years back a Tibetan Lama saying that the breath is a very poor object for meditation, because what happens when you die? You can be able to focus on the breath. You should focus directly on the mind. Well, focusing on the mind is like observing wildlife. If you stare at a deer or stare at any wild animal, they're going to run away. So you have to look at them out of the corner of your eye. Pretend like you're not paying them any attention, you're not the least bit interested in them. And then they'll start behaving normally. Same with the mind. If you focus directly on it, it stops doing whatever it was doing for a while. It doesn't let you see very much. If you want to observe your mind, observe it in the process of watching the breath, playing with the breath, exploring the breath. That way you really get to know it. And be willing to spend time here. This takes a lot of time to see anything really clearly, to see anything new and unusual, something other people might not have seen. You've got to stay with it. Again and again and again. I've got a student who's a professional photographer, and she was saying the other day that when she goes to a new place, she spends a whole month taking all the obvious photos and ends up throwing most of them away. The really interesting photos are the ones that come after having been in a place for a long period of time. And it's the same thing here. When you watch the breath, you notice the in and the out, and a few other qualities. But as you get to really know it, come back and back and back again and again and again. And John Lee's image is of a path that you walk over back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until you really know it. You know every blade of grass to the point where if anything changes, you notice immediately. That's the kind of familiarity you want to develop with the breath. Because the mind, as it begins to settle down with the breath, moves in very subtle ways. And to see the subtleties, you have to be really familiar with the territory. And it's not that this path saves all of its benefits to the end. As you're familiar with the breath, you can deal with illnesses as they come up, pains in the body. When the mind is feeling anxious, you can figure out ways to calm it down. When you're feeling tired, you can breathe in ways that give you more energy. So there are a lot of uses for the breath now and on into the future. The skills that you develop around the breath are really useful skills, and they're skills that can help you all the way through life. My father was a carpenter, and over the years he got to be a really good joiner. Made really nice furniture. And his shop was his escape. When he's tired of being in the house, tired of the people in the house, he'd go down to the shop. He was in his own world there working with the wood. But then he developed Parkinson's and he couldn't work in the shop anymore. And suddenly he didn't have his escape. Whereas you're working with the breath, you're working with something that's going to be with you until you die. And it's right next to the mind, which is why, as I said earlier, it's a good place to focus so that you can observe the mind out of the corner of your eye. Catch it doing things, thinking things, planning things, remembering things, twisting things in its own way. And you can see through a lot of its subterfuges, because the breath gives you a good solid place to stay, right next to the mind to watch it. So try to get familiar with the subtleties of the breath. And John Lee talks about many levels of the breath. There's the in and out breathing. There's the sense of energy that flows through the body in tandem with the in and out breathing. In other words, you feel this energy that flows through the different muscles that are involved in the rise and fall of the rib cage, the rise and fall of the shoulders, subtle movements in the head. And as you get more familiar with it, you realize that it's spreading all the way down through the tips of your fingers, the tips of your toes. There's another level of breath energy that's even more refined, which is very still. Doesn't move with the in-breath, doesn't move with the out-breath. But it is a kind of energy. These are the kinds of things you get to see when you stick with the breath. Commit yourself to staying here. So you're not just taking the obvious photographs, you're seeing the details that are really special. And of course, the details are not just there in the breath, they're also related to the movements of the mind. When you catch yourself telling yourself something that you don't really believe, and yet you've been falling for it for who knows how long, when you see that in action and can drop it, or any activity in the mind that has an influence on your thoughts and words and deeds, but it's an influence because it's acting behind the scenes. When you're here, right here, this is where things are happening, and you can see through that, huge burdens get lifted. You begin to see that the stories you create around things can often be a huge problem. You may decide that they're really, really true, but then you ask yourself, why do I have to tell myself these stories? Why do I have to get involved? You're much better off just allowing the breath to surround you. Remember, you're not on one side of the body watching the breath and another side of the body. You're in the midst of the breath. Allow yourself to sink down into the breath. Allow it to enfold you. Develop an all-around awareness like this. And be able to use that all-around awareness with the mind as well. So this is a good skill to give yourself to. Gives you benefits right now and benefits on into the future. And it will stick with you. If you stick with it, it'll stick with you and it'll do all kinds of good things for you. It's one area in life where commitment really pays off.